I can't do this anymore. This is all too much for me to handle. I'm miserable. I feel trapped. There's no one that can help me. No one understands my pain, and I just want it to end. I don't want to live anymore. These are the common thoughts of someone in despair, someone struggling with a desire to live. And these are the kinds of thoughts that lead many to suicide every day. The statistics on the subject of suicide are staggering. And it doesn't matter what country you're from. It doesn't matter how much money's in your account. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, adult or child. Suicide is on just about every country's list of leading causes of death. Of course, the numbers vary from country to country. We see countries where suicides are predominantly men. We see other countries where the majority of suicides are people over the age of 65. There are countries where teen suicides are increasing very rapidly, and countries where military members and veterans are a vulnerable population. You can study the patterns, and you'll see that sometimes it's poverty or economic issues, some stress factor that will contribute to the rise in suicide rates. There are many contributing factors, but statisticians estimate 800,000 people die from suicide every year. We could define suicide as self-murder. In fact, that's literally what the word means. So 800,000 every year equals one person killing themselves every 40 seconds. Add to that that every suicide committed, they say there are an estimated 25 attempts. Now, if these numbers aren't startling enough, the data scientists also agree that on this particular subject, the numbers are underestimated. And that's because many deaths are categorized as accidental, or maybe the reason for death just isn't stated. But what if there was another option? A better option? What if the feelings of sorrow and depression and pain had a solution? What if I told you the feelings of being trapped and alone are inaccurate? What if you aren't just a statistic? What if you found out your life is of great value? And if I told you there are good reasons for living? I want to share with you a very important perspective on life, but I also want to acknowledge that what I'm about to share with you, it's different from what you might hear from other people. If we were to go out on the streets, just randomly survey people, ask them what they think about suicide, we'd get a number of different responses. One's view on this topic largely depends on their worldview. That is the lens or the filter through which they view the world. For example, if we asked someone who does not believe in God about suicide, they might say, "My body, my choice." If the lens through which you view life does not include God, and you believe your life is just a scientific accident that one day starts and another day ends, and you don't believe today's choices have any consequences in the life hereafter, then you're going to make life's choices accordingly. But let's say we walked up to someone else who believes in reincarnation. That's their lens. Meaning they believe that they will return to this world after death in another form, maybe a person, maybe an animal. Suicide for them may simply be viewed as a way to hit a reset button and start over. I didn't like the cards I was given in this life, so let's just give this another try. But let's say we then found someone who did believe in the existence of God. They believed the Bible was a book from God and therefore authoritative, directive. That person might say something like this: "We were created by God. We were created with intention. We were created with purpose." They might say there's life beyond this life, and we're going to have to answer to God for the decisions made in this life. I think you would agree that this is a worldview, this is a lens that changes things greatly. So let's talk about what the Bible says on this topic, and then you decide for yourself if this is helpful information for you. Now, if you just heard me say the word Bible and that was a turnoff for you, I just want to ask you to reconsider that initial reaction, because I'm not going to assume that you love or value the Bible like I do. If you do, that's great. But I'm going to assume that someone will be viewing this video that does not believe the Bible's from God. They don't believe it holds value for answering today's questions and issues. So at this point, I simply want to point out that the Bible does not sugarcoat the challenges of life. And all you have to do is read it for yourself, and you'll see the Bible is a book that's very blunt. It's very transparent about the pains and struggles of life. But the value comes from the fact that God sees it all. He sees our pain. He knows when we're struggling, and he's working to fix everything that is broken in this life. Now, maybe not on our time frame, but the word hope is a very important word in the Bible. God also says that death is not the answer to our problems. In fact, in God's eyes, death is an enemy. 1 Corinthians 15:26 is the reference. Let's talk about the why. Why would someone consider ending their life? There's a popular theory among psychologists, psychiatrists. It's called Joyner's theory, and it states that there are three key thoughts a person might have that when you put them together, they make for a very dangerous scenario. First thought is this: I'm alone. Now add to that thought, I'm a burden. And add to those, I'm not afraid to die. Now, of course, I know every suicide is not the result of these thoughts, but we're talking about generalities here. We're talking about some common thoughts that a lot of people wrestle with. When life's painful and it feels like there's no solution available, nobody to help, then thoughts of ending the pain through suicide are often the result. Something interesting, though, if you've ever spoken to a person who's considered suicide at one point in their life, they'll tell you they didn't want to end their life. They only wanted to end the pain. But when you add to the pains of life a feeling of being alone, no one to help, no avenue of escape, then death may appear to be the only option to escape that pain. I find it very heartbreaking to know that we live in a world where such a large number of people feel trapped, alone, and desiring to end their life every day. If you fall into this category, please listen to me carefully. I might be stating the obvious here, but we live in a world where it appears like everyone else is just doing wonderfully, while we're over here suffering alone. If you're into social media, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, we see people taking pictures and they post thoughts of their child's latest achievement, their recent job promotion, their latest vacation, their latest adventure, their latest purchase, maybe even their steak dinner at some fancy restaurant. Life appears to be so successful and wonderful and happy for everybody else, doesn't it? But friend, please know that social media is a snapshot. It's a moment in time. It's often fake. It's not the full story. Everyone has their own struggles. We all have areas of life that are painful. Not everybody talks about it, but the pain is there. I remember a coworker friend of mine who was the picture of success at work. He was a sharp dresser. He had a sharp mind. Everybody considered him to be the go-to guy when we needed something. But we had no idea he was going through a divorce at home. And there were struggles he had with his adult children. And I remember him coming to my office one Friday afternoon to say, "Good night, Jim. Have a great weekend." That was the last time I saw him. If you are having feelings of despair or know someone who's struggling right now, I'm so glad you decided to click play on this video, because I believe the Bible has information that will help you. This isn't an infomercial. We're not selling anything. I want to point you to the Bible because I believe the Bible is a gift from God. It's been a gift for me for several reasons, but one of them is because of the wisdom God shares with us in this book. As his creation, he helps us learn to view his world the way he views his world. Again, the Bible hides nothing when it comes to life's problems and pain points. Even people credited with being full of faith, we get to see their flaws too. In fact, I don't think you could come up with a problem today, which when you boil it down to its core issue, isn't already found somewhere in the Bible. The question is, what should I do with my problems? What does God tell us to do with our problems as we live in his world? Is suicide the right answer? I talk to people often about life struggles, and something I've noticed in those conversations over the years is that often their thoughts don't match up with God's thoughts. Give you an example. Someone might think suicide will end the problem. God says death isn't the end at all. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So according to the Bible, death is not the final word. Death's not the end. And don't you think that's important information for someone to know, especially if they're not in a right standing before God, before they end this life and find themselves standing in judgment? Another common thought people frequently have that conflicts with what God says is this: I'm autonomous. I know that's a big word. It just means Allah to yourself. I can do whatever I want, in other words. And I don't have to answer to anyone for what I choose to do. My body, my choice. The problem is, that's not biblical. God disagrees. Psalm 100 and verse 3 says this: "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Paul said it this way in Acts 17:25. "God gives to all life, breath, and all things." God is trying to communicate to us that we were created by him, that we belong to him. God is the giver of life, and it's not in our hands to do whatever we want with in this life. Now, please don't interpret this to mean that life is some kind of restrictive prison that God has us in. The intent here is to communicate a sense of worth. God wants us to understand we belong. We belong to him. You are of great value to God. He made you for a reason. He made you for a purpose. God made you because he wants you to live. Now, he expects you to be living for him, and that takes us into another conversation altogether. But at this point in the conversation, I simply want to make it clear that the Bible's message is that you're not autonomous. You don't live on some island free to do whatever you wish. No, you were created. God made you. God desires a relationship with you. You are of great value. Listen to something God says at the very beginning of the Bible. Before the law of Moses, before the Ten Commandments, God's talking to Noah about murder, and this is what he says. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. That's Genesis 9, verse 6. We see here God's view on human life, and it's clear that God made man, that God made man in his image, and that God is not okay with anyone taking the life of another person. Now, I can imagine someone saying, but Jim, suicide, that's not murdering another person. We agree that murdering another person would be wrong. I'm considering, or I know someone who's considering, ending their life. Isn't that different? I would disagree with that, because if you look carefully at the reason God is against murder, you still see at the heart of the discussion the fact that God made us in his image. That means we don't have the right to end our own life. Why? Because God made us. We belong to him. Now you say, great. So I guess God just wants me to stay alive and suffer and remain in this painful state I'm in. No. God expects you to love yourself. He's not asking you to look in the mirror and lie to yourself. He's asking you to look in the mirror and see what he sees. Jesus said in Matthew 22, 39, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible asks us to love other people based on the assumption that we will love them, using as the starting point the fact that we love ourselves. God expects us to understand our worth, our value. He expects us to know that other people have value and worth as well. But don't forget that first part, to love and value yourself. Someone might say, Jim, I'm having a really hard time right now loving myself. I'm really hurting right now. I feel alone. And I hear you. I don't want to discredit or in any way discount whatever pain you're going through. But I must tell you, you're not alone. God sees your pain. And perhaps he's even using this video right now to remind you of some very important truths about yourself. So let's answer the question that so many people ask. Is it wrong to take my own life? The Bible answer to that question is easy. Yes, it is wrong to take your own life. Exodus 20 and verse 13 says, you shall not murder. That includes self-murder. The Apostle Paul carries this law and many others forward to the New Testament Christian when he says in Romans 13 verse 9 that God commands no adultery, no murder, no stealing, no coveting, many others, that can be summed up in this way. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I think we would all be wise to adopt the mentality that King David expressed in Psalm 31. He said, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Did you catch that? After David said he was going to trust in God, he goes on to say, my times are in your hands. In other words, God, I'm afraid for my life. I'm surrounded by trouble. And I don't know what tomorrow holds, whether I'm going to live or die, but I'm going to trust in you to handle it, and I'm going to put it all in your hands. There is a time to be born, and there's a time to die. But according to the Bible, I don't get to choose those dates. That's for God to decide. In Psalm 43 and verse 5, we see the writer speaking to himself, and he's reminding himself of a very important truth. We do that sometimes, don't we? We speak to ourselves. Here's what he says. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted? That means disturbed within me. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. I hope that it is of some comfort for you to know that many of the people we read about in the Bible, they too have been in despair. They've had the same thoughts that we have. Even King Solomon, the wise king, reached a point in his life where he hated life. Ecclesiastes 2:17. The great prophet Elijah was fearful and depressed at one point, so that he even prayed he would die. 1 Kings 19, verse 4. The prophet Jonah reached a point where he said, it's better for me to die than to live. Jonah 4, verse 8. Read the book of Job and the sufferings of Job. He said that many times. Even Paul said that he and his friends at one point were under such great pressure that it was hard to endure. His exact words were these: we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even to life. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8. But you know, none of these people committed suicide. Life became painful. They didn't want to continue living, but then God came along. Their mind was set straight by God and his desire for them to live for him. My friend, you are not alone in the thoughts that trouble your mind. Let's conclude by trying to answer another common question. What will God do to a person who dies by suicide? First, it's important to note that we are all accountable to God for what we do in this life. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. But adding on to that, secondly, God's judgment, it's just, it's fair. God is impartial. He will always do what's right. Now, why do I say that? I say that because there are people who take their own life. They know exactly what they're doing. It's contrary to God's will. It's wrong. It's sinful. But then there are people who are mentally ill. Maybe there's some genetic issue from birth, something caused in an injury, or maybe because someone had a traumatic experience in their life. It affected them so greatly. I don't bring this up to say that the situation dictates whether it's right or wrong. We know God wants people to live. But I bring this up because I'm not going to claim to know what God will do with every individual in circumstances I know nothing about. But God knows, and he will do what's right. Now then, if you're watching this video, you're still a thinking person, trying to process information and figure out what's right and wrong. So for you and anyone else considering suicide, I would say without hesitation, do not do it. It's not what God wants you to do. God does not approve of murder, even self-murder. There's a better way. Remember what David said. God, my times are in your hands. A couple of final thoughts. First, we all need to do a better job having compassion when others struggle in this life. People are really hurting. Don't be dismissive of their pain or look down on anyone because they struggle with something maybe you don't struggle with. I also want to say to anyone looking for help, Help is available. If you are mentally in a really bad place right now, please seek out a friend to talk to. Call a crisis hotline. Maybe make an appointment to have a medical evaluation done. But I do want to tell you that much of what the world has to offer you, it's only a patch. It's a temporary band-aid for today's problems. Tomorrow will present new problems. And if you don't replace unhealthy thinking with healthy thinking, you'll find yourself quickly back at the same place. My recommendation, therefore, is that you pick up a Bible. If you don't have one, do whatever it takes to get one. Don't steal it, but get one and read it carefully. Maybe start with the Psalms. It's a book of songs that are often written by people who are struggling. It addresses how God provided hope for them, hope for a better tomorrow. This book claims it's from God. You can expect great things from it. And it promises peace of mind. It promises hope. It promises joy. Don't you want that? Of course you do. You want that. We all want that. So why don't you give the Bible fair consideration? You're smart. You can decide for yourself. What you will find in the Bible are words of comfort for struggling people. You will find meaningful and lasting solutions to life's problems. And you will find an invitation from God Himself to repair your broken life. Jesus Himself invites us with these beautiful words. He says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Matthew 11:28. When God offers us peace, when He offers us rest, He is often talking about the mind, peace of mind. And God will teach you to meditate and think on positive things, good things, beautiful things. God wants you to think about Him, about His love, His grace, His mercy, His patience with us, and the hope that He offers people like you and me as we live in this very difficult world. And if you're inclined to do so, I would encourage you to pray to God. Ask for help. God hears the prayers of those who desire truth and seek after Him. So ask God to help you. And know that at the heart of the Bible's message is the fact that Jesus lived and He died for you so that you can live for Him.